Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
710 WOR.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we do thank you for tuning in on a Wednesday morning. Our big three stories, well, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, took secret action to prevent Donald Trump from ordering a nuclear strike. He actually made calls to China after the riot at the Capitol. This, according to a new Bob Woodward book called Peril. It's basically a military coup, if you ask me. Trump responded he never thought about attacking China and accuses Milley of treason. Also in the big three, Governor Gavin Newsom won big in California. He survived the recall vote. And rounding out the big three, a comedian, Norm MacDonald, really a comedian's comedian, of Saturday Night Live fame, has died of cancer. Nobody knew he was suffering for 9 years. Norm MacDonald was just 61 years old, and the tributes are really pouring in all over the entertainment world. And really, there is a big four story this morning. Broadway reopened last night. The big story there was not that four huge musicals turned on the lights. The big story is that Michael Riedel walked into The Lion King and Hamilton without a ticket. What kind of security did they have on Broadway, Michael?
By the way, I know they're all doing these crazy vaccination stuff. Nobody asked me for my vaccine card. I just walked in.
Man, what is...
I mean, come on.
You know, that was a good story. Len, you should have let him tell it earlier.
Yeah, exactly, Len.
I mean, it really was.
Okay, let's get it. All right, let's.
Can we play?
You know,
can we play? Can we play
yes.
it back?
Fair enough. Let me find this thing, because what happened was Michael came on the air at 6 this morning, and if you weren't with us, and the odds are you worried, Michael said, and the third big item today is I went to Broadway. And I said, no, hang on a second. That's the third big item. You had Norm MacDonald passing away. You had the lady missing, you know, all across the country. Young lady is. You had vaccine mandates, et cetera,
See, already
et cetera.
He's boring me with all these things that he wants to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I want you to play it, and I want, Natalie and Joe, I want you to judge the tone of Len's voice.
Okay. Okay, here's
and
what
see
happened.
Why I was a
at
little
6 a.m. when Michael was doing the big three. Here you go. And the fact that you put that you went to Broadway, the big three, when there are some really big stories out there that need telling, such as the vaccine court rulings that affect New York State, such as the passing of a great comedian, Norm MacDonald, such as that missing Long Island woman, and what's the boyfriend doing home in Florida? All those great stories. But no, the big three is Michael went to Broadway. Wait, I got to change my big three at 7 o'clock.
You should.
Rounding out the big three, I had Cheerios with bananas for breakfast.
It was demeaning, Len. It was demeaning. Oof. Yes. Yeah, that was a put down. I vote a put down. Natalie?
Natalie, where do you stand
on bananas
this one?
And Cheerios comment. You had me until the bananas and Cheerios.
That wasn't piling on? Really?
That was just a little much.
Oh, well. Okay. I publicly apologize for the Cheerios and banana, but not the rest of it.
The rest of it sticks.
Right, that vaccine mandate stuff. Come on, Len, get into that again.
No, I don't want to. I've been chastised, duly chastised. But see, your Broadway stories were really good last night. That you walked in to two Broadway shows.
No tickets.
No tickets.
No invitation.
The thing that blows me away is the usher that said, come on in. I mean, that used to happen to me like 40 years ago at Fenway Park. You know, oh, Len, come on. Like, there was the biggest game. I don't know if you ever, Joe, you remember the big Bucky Dent home run game, one game playoff, Yankees and Red Sox. I didn't have a ticket, so I just walked in, and the usher said, hey, Len, come on in. And so that's the way it was, you know, back then.
When I went to the Barry Manilow musical with Michael, the usher brought him drinks.
Okay, Michael, what are you doing Saturday? I will meet you at the corner of Broadway and 40th, and I just want to walk around theaters with you and see what happens.
Funnily enough, what am I doing Saturday? Actually, I am leading, I believe it's at 5:30. I found out the time now. I am leading everybody in a karaoke sing-along.
Oh, that's right.
Broadway show in Times Square.
Oh,
really?
That's right.
Yeah. It's going to be I'm doing it with my friend Imogen Lloyd Webber, and they're going to have a piano set up there, And everybody is going to be invited to join in on singing show tunes as a way of marking the reopening of Broadway. And I'm the MC. I'm the host. I think it starts at 5 o'clock. I don't know.
Well, find out so you're not late.
Well, find out so you're on time. Because you're never on time for our broadcast early in the morning. So it would be nice if you were in Times Square on time.
But if you're going to be in Times Square on 5 o'clock, come by. We're going to have a big karaoke sing along.
What songs?
It's not a. You know what? I can tell you actually.
Got any Hamilton songs?
No. Yeah. I put
you guys going to sing this? Come on, Michael. Hey, Mike. Shot. I'm not getting what my eyes shot.
Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
He's probably going to do this one because it's like named after his book.
Here from the old.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Rise up, dazzle. Give him an act with lots of flash in it and the reaction. Passionate.
Ah, that's great stuff.
All right,
so what are you doing?
Gonna be, all right, so it's going to be 4:30 to 5 p.m. in Times Square. Oh, God, I have to get a stupid COVID test before I go there. Anyway.
yeah,
show
God
up.
God forbid.
Tell them you're Michael Riedel.
You don't want to infect anybody. Hey, tell them about Michael Riedel.
Well, and I'm actually going to be leading everyone in songs, so I'm going to give you a preview. All righty? Okay, one of the songs. There's no business like show.
Oh, that's
business.
A good one.
It's like no business I know. Also, we're going to be, hello, Dolly. Well, hello, Dolly. Come on, babe. Why don't you paint the town and all that jazz?
That jazz. Oh, that's
I'm
going
to be doing, what good is sitting alone in your room? Come
life
hear
is a
the
cabaret.
Music play. Life is a cabaret.
This is great.
Show.
I don't even have to show up on
wow,
Saturday.
Wow, we don't have to go now, Joe. No.
Wait, I'm not done.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, please
talk
be done.
Of dark. No more talk of darkness. Forget your wild-eyed fears. Like I'm
what's
here.
What's this one?
From and Phantom. Phantom.
All Phantom. I ask I was of the... you. Da dee da dee da. And then I'm going to do, well, oh, this one I don't know. So I got to skip that one.
What song was
tell
it?
Tell me that. What was? Oh, I know it. I'm sorry. Oh, summer nights. How's that go from Grease, Natalie? Oh, yeah. Ooh, tell me more. Tell me more.
That's
da,
good.
Get down in the
very
sand.
Good.
Da,
that's
da,
good.
Da, da, da. I got to learn the lyrics. I don't have that one down. Oh, but this is the one. This is the one that is going to move me the most.
Yeah.
Kiss today goodbye and point me toward tomorrow. We did what we had to do. Won't regret.
Okay.
Can't forget.
Okay, enough.
What I did.
Don't give it all. You know,
Len,
you want to wait
well,
till Saturday.
Us from this now. Come on, Len.
I'm trying to remember the name of that show. What was that from?
Chorus Line. Come on.
Oh, Chorus Line, right. Of course.
What I did for love.
Are you doing this song from, are you doing this one from Wicked?
You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper poise when you talk to boys. Little ways to flirt and flounce. I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix your hair. Everything that really counts to
me.
Let
me hear your best Kristen Chenoweth. Come on.
I'll help you be popular.
Oh, I like that. Popular.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If I did that song, no one would believe that I have a fiance. So I really can't get away with that. I can't get away with singing that song.
I see what you're saying here.
But I could do... Oh, here's one, Len. This is from your time, from your generation. Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway.
There's nothing from Fiddler?
1930.
If I were a rich man, yubba-dubba-dub... No?
We're also doing Natalie. Let's do the time warp again. Remember that one from Rocky Horror?
Oh, yeah, Rocky Horror.
That's going to be fun. So
you know what?
Come
maybe
to...
I'll come by.
Wait a second. It's only half an hour. You got 27 songs. How are you going to do that?
It's a big set there.
I don't know. Well, the big thing
is... Gotta do some editing fast.
The big thing is they're giving me a $1,000 fee, so I got to put it
in. Oh, really? Do we have to know this?
W-9 form before the end of the day.
Oh, boy.
Are you kidding me? Michael,
and
so
the
if
IRS
I show
is
up,
listening. You better declare that money. I mean,
really, if I show up, will you sneak me into a show after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get you. I could probably. Oh, God, I could probably.
Well, it's only four or five playing, so you better pick one.
Not that many.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you got Chicago, Wicked, Hamilton, and The Lion King.
I think Waitress started already? Or no, did that hasn't started yet? I think it did.
I can probably get you into Do Re Mi, the old Comden and Green song from 1964.
How come there's nothing from The Sound of Music? Do, a deer,
No. We are. We're doing that. We are doing
it. Oh, you are?
A female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Funny. You know who hates that song, who hated that song more than anyone in the world?
Julie Andrews.
Yep. She hated that song. She really
Why?
Did.
She's the only one I know who's... Why did she hate it so much?
She just thought it was a stupid song. And she had to do it with all those little kids, and she never liked that song.
Now you're going to tell me she didn't like little kids.
No, she did like the kids. It was Christopher Plummer who hated the kids. He played Captain Von Trapp in the music. And he hated doing that movie so much that he would go to the hotel in Austria every night and just get drunk on schnapps. And then he'd have to go to the 7-Eleven.
Edelweiss. Edelweiss.
And I had to go to that set and deal with those brats.
All right, go watch Michael on Broadway. What's it, 4:30 Saturday night in Times Square, right?
Yeah.
Sing along. Hey, when we return, Republicans going after the Secretary of State big time. In fact, a Long Island congressman says Tony Blinken should resign. And that is coming up.
Hey, our 2021 iHeartRadio Music Festival is back live Friday and Saturday from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. The biggest names in music all are going to be on one stage, including Cheap Trick, Journey, Coldplay, and many, many more. Elvis Duran, our pal, he kicks off the pre-show at 10 p.m. Experience the show anywhere, live on iHeartRadio or stream free on the CW app or CWTV.com. Sponsored locally by Grubhub, New York's best food at your fingertips.
Good morning, New York.
Glenn Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Sometimes what happens during the commercial breaks is funnier than what happens when we're live on air. And some of you may know I've been purging my apartment because I'm going to move my fiance in here. So I got to get rid of all these books and stuff. And I'm going to take a picture, Natalie. I sent you that picture. Can you put it up on our website, 710 WOR?
Everyone's dying to see it. Yeah.
It's your messy apartment. You want me to put pictures up? No, I'm not.
He wants to put up the boxed books.
Well, but listen, I'm looking for tips from people on, you know, it's hard to get rid of things that you've collected over the years. So anyway, I was just telling Joe and Natalie and Len here during the commercial that I've got all these CDs and I'm just going to get rid of them. I mean, you know, lifetime of collecting great music, but everything's apparently on something called Spotify and these other streaming services, and I'm learning how to use those things. And also, you can get all the Broadway stuff on iHeartRadio Broadway, of course. And then I kind of showed these guys, you know, picture of what my apartment looks like. And Bartlett said, it's going to be good when you've got a wife to tidy it up. And Natalie, you were having none of that.
That's what wives do. And I think that's what Natalie does. She likes to tidy up for Chris. Well, that's her goal in life.
I tidy up for myself, for the home, for us living. I don't sit there and go home. I got to tidy up for Chris now because he's going to be coming home and No, I just do it because that's what you do when you live in a home.
See?
My purpose isn't to tidy up for Chris.
But you do
But here's the thing.
I hope you guys clean up every once in a while.
No, we don't.
We have wives and girlfriends to tidy up.
We have wives to tidy up.
You know, you guys are just gross.
Little apron. They wear an apron and they tidy up.
Everybody ought to have a maid.
I hope.
Everybody
I am going to send that to your wife. And see what she thinks about that comment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It'll be fun at home tonight when she gets that email.
You know, to be completely candid with you guys, listen, I haven't been married in all these years, and I have some reservations, some doubts, some fears about getting married. But when, Joe, you said it's going to be great to have someone tidying up around the house, I am now all in, man.
Yeah.
It is not going to be the only woman in the room right now, I will tell you.
Hey, can we tidy up something else? We're starting a brand new season of Tag Team Trivia. Friday after the 9 o'clock news. And if you'd like to be a contestant and you can team with either Michael or me, if you team with Michael, you'll win a t-shirt. If you team with me, well, that's the breaks. So go to 710WOR.com/contestant if you'd like to join in the fun and merriment of Tag Team Trivia that is coming up Friday after the news. Our brand new season. I won season one. Michael trounced me in season two. And the all-important rubber match coming up.
That's right. Hey, this is a great story. So there's a missing painting. It's a Baroque-era painting of, it's always one of these religious things with Jesus and Mary and Joseph and all these kind of stuff. And it's been missing forever, right? And no one knew where the painting went. It was painted by Cesare Dandini, great painter of the Baroque era. I've seen some of Dandini's works around the world over the years. And this one painting has been missing forever. And there was a New York college professor of art history. He was sitting in his church, Holy Family Roman Catholic Church in New Rochelle, and they had turned the lights on in an area of the church that they hadn't had the lights on before. And he looked up and he said, "That's the missing Dandini painting." Wow. And he went over and inspected it, and it is the painting. And it's been hanging up there for like 60 years or something like that. And
the church stole it. Is that what you're saying? His church, bunch of thieves, they stole it? Is that what you...
Well, no, here's what I was thinking. I'm sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm waiting for it. Waiting for what you're thinking.
What I was thinking...
Joe's just watching the bus go by.
No, I'm waiting for what you're thinking, Michael. Don't bother
him. No, what I'm thinking was, geez, I wish that the church had had a flea market sale. And I would have gone by, and they would have put that painting out there for $10, and I would have bought it because it's worth about $1.5 million.
Wow!
This painting.
And how'd it go missing?
It was just, you know, it was in a catalog somewhere at one point, and then it was gone, and nobody ever knew where it was. And this art history professor just sitting
showed
there
up in a church.
He saw it.
And now for 3 months, it's actually on display in Iona College, so you can actually everybody could go see it.
Cool. Oh yeah, good. All right, Len, you're going to go up.
I'll go with you.
Okay. All right, news time, 9:30 from Joe Barlick. Good morning, Joe.
All right, Michael. 22-year-old Gabby Petito from Long Island has been missing for a couple of weeks now. Her boyfriend returned from Florida without her after they went on a cross-country trip together. Petito's father says they were last seen in Wyoming.
Gabby, we love you. If you're hearing this, please, you know, grab somebody's phone, call us, contact us. We'll come get you in minutes.
The boyfriend is not talking to police and has only offered a brief statement saying he hopes the search for her is successful. We're also getting word this morning that police were called to an incident involving the two in Utah, but they're not saying much about that incident other than the fact that it did not have enough evidence involved to warrant any action. Mayor de Blasio wants all teachers vaccinated, and now a city judge has put it on hold. The judge is going to allow the unions to make their case against mandatory vaccination at a court hearing on September the 22nd. Mayor's not happy about that.
We know that when all the adults in the building are vaccinated, it keeps everyone safe and it helps move us forward.
A federal judge has also put the brakes on New York State's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. That one was problematic because it didn't have a religious exemption. California Governor Gavin Newsom will keep his job. Democrats easily turned back a recall effort by Republicans who were upset with his handling of COVID. Exit polling showed most voters in the state supported his mask mandate and see the vaccination process as a public health responsibility. Former President Trump lashing out over a new book called Peril, written by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. It claims the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Mark Milley, took secret action to limit Trump's ability to launch a military strike after the Capitol riot, even when as far as calling the military leader of China to say, "Don't worry, I'll tell you if he's going to launch an attack." Former President Trump on Newsmax says if that's true, that's treason. And things are not going well in Afghanistan, apparently, after the withdrawal of U.S. troops. The BBC now says there was a huge brawl inside the presidential palace involving members of the Taliban last week. What were they arguing about? Sort of like Len and Michael arguing about Broadway. These guys had their own argument. They were arguing over who did the most to drive the U.S. out of the country. And so after the fight, one of the leaders was missing.
Now, you can't. When you get in a fight with a guy who's got a Kalashnikov on him with all those bullets that they wear around their, you're not getting in a fight with that guy. What's wrong with you?
I assume they all had guns, but anyway, there's obviously rumors that this guy was killed. The Taliban, this is great. You think Jen Psaki's got good lines? How about this one? The Taliban says, no, he's just tired and needed some rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Eternal rest.
Our little tiff got a little Talibanish today.
It was a little uncomfortable.
No one went missing yet.
Yet. Listen to him, Michael. Yet.
He still wants to kill me.
Oh, man. Len. All right. Wall Street.
It's Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
New York's morning show.
710 WOR.
Well, we're joined by our buddy, Greg Giangrande. He's the career advice columnist for the New York Post. He writes Go to Greg every Monday, and he joins us not a moment too soon. as we say good morning to you, Greg. We had this minor problem on our show this morning of a couple of co-hosts who sound like a couple of old ladies bickering back and forth. Is there a solution to this problem? What do you say?
Len, I have to say, what I heard this morning is the reason why the HR profession exists. So there's some intervention that's needed here. But interestingly enough, and obviously you all have a great relationship and it's all good-natured, but sometimes you don't know that everybody feels the same way. And it can cause a problem. So this may sound familiar. Anything that sounds familiar is purely coincidental. But I have a scenario for you, and it turns into a little bit of a quiz. So can I play it out for you?
Sure.
All right. So let's just say you have three colleagues who work closely together, two men and one woman, and you know, one of the men like makes some sexist comments about women's place and what they do and wives and things like that.
You mean if they tidy up around the house, that kind of thing?
something like that.
Okay.
And let's just say the woman finds it offensive but doesn't say anything, and that kind of joking around continues. The other colleague is aware that it makes her uncomfortable, but doesn't do anything about it.
Oh.
Is the company now liable if the woman wants to bring a claim against the company? Yes or no?
I think we should ask Natalie. Should we ask Natalie on this one?
I think it's going to be a yes.
My payday coming up?
I think it's going to be a yes.
I think it's a yes. I think it is.
You're both right. It's a yes.
That's the reason why I like Greg so much.
See you, Natalie.
It's been nice knowing you.
If someone in management is aware that there's unlawful behavior going on or creating a hostile work environment for somebody else, then it's deemed that the company is aware, because every manager has the obligation to report that kind of behavior. So even if the victim doesn't report it, a manager who's aware of it has to report it. And if they don't, then that's the company's problem. The company's liable.
So Greg, are you saying that when we were just kind of joshing around there with, you know, the wives tidying up the home, that
just
Len and
kidding.
I broke the
we're
law?
Just making a little funny.
But are you saying that we broke the law?
No, what I'm saying is if Natalie found it offensive and that type of joking around continued, yes, that's creating a hostile work environment, because those are considered sexist comments. And if she's uncomfortable, she can make a claim. And
you know what? She did. Well, she did not find it offensive. She was too busy. She was too busy tidying up the control room. She did not.
Oh my God,
Len Berman. Len Berman. You did that in front of an HR professional. What is wrong with you?
Natalie, just add zeros to the check.
Thank you.
Oh boy. Oh my God, Greg. Yeah. So hey, what about people who somebody, I think you wrote this in your column, someone got fired for not being vaccinated. Can you fire someone for not getting vaccinated?
Yeah, but the big issue there, yes, you can, right? An employer can mandate the vaccine, and if somebody doesn't want to get vaccinated, the employer can terminate them, unless the person claims that the reason why they're not getting the vaccine is because of a disability or a religious exemption. The issue with what somebody wrote in was they were fired for cause, which is different, right? Cause is a higher threshold. It's a higher bar. When you get fired for cause, that generally means you can't collect unemployment, you're not entitled to any severance benefits that you might have been entitled to had you been laid off or terminated for reasons other than cause. So that was the issue. There is no way it would stand up in court, an employer firing an employee for cause for not getting the vaccine. It's a big issue because, you know, you could get fired and then whatever severance benefits the company would provide for someone for being terminated for reasons other than cause is what you would be entitled to, including unemployment benefits. Causes for things like theft, insubordination, violating company policies, things like that. Not because you don't want to get the vaccine.
How about telling your female producer that she should go tidy up? Can you get that cause? All right, never mind. Hey, Greg, you got any other quiz questions for us this morning?
I do. So, again, this scenario may sound familiar, purely coincidental, but let's just say one colleague demeans another colleague, thinks that their suggestion of what they should cover at work is
Broadway.
Really stupid or selfish, right. and they constantly demean their suggestions. Is that considered workplace bullying? Yes, yes.
I think so. Yes. Yes, I have to say yes.
Absolutely.
I think so.
Guilty as charged.
If it's more than one isolated incident, and it's the kind of repetitive behavior that somebody is subjected to, where they're constantly ridiculed, then yes, it rises to the level of bullying, and that creates a hostile work environment, and that is unlawful.
And Greg, so who should I contact?
Me. I'm on speed dial, so me.
Hey, Greg, it's been nice having you on the program over the last several months. Have a nice life.
We'll see you, Greg. We don't need you anymore.
Greg Giagrande, Korean vice columnist for the New York Post. Always fun, Greg. Come back next week.
Thanks for inviting me back. Stay out of trouble.
Coming up next, what are smellitizers? One guy is claiming that smellitizers are brainwashing you to buy food at Disney World. Interesting story. That and our morning show recap all coming up.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel.
Good morning, New York. From 710 WOR.
All right, well, Len and I are wrapping it up here on Wednesday, but you want to stick around for Mark Simone after the news at 10 o'clock. He welcomes to his show Bernie Weiss. Now, Bernie is the president of iHeart New York, and he's the author of a great new book. Have you read this book, Len? It's called Ace It. It is terrific.
Len? He sent me an autographed copy, so I'm going to read it.
Now, here's the thing. I think Simone, and Joe would know this better than we do, but Simone's a little smarter than we are because he's got Bernie on the show, and we haven't had Bernie on the show yet.
And you were well aware that Bernie had written a book, and you haven't booked him. You're right, yes. And I'm sure he's aware of that too, Michael.
Mm. Yeah, the thought had occurred to me, but you know, I brought it up with Len, and Len said, I'm not interested. So it's just, I mean, I let it go. I'm not interested.
Yeah, okay. That goes well with his HR report that's going downstairs today. Huh?
Nice knowing you guys. Enjoy your new co-host.
Natalie, remember when I brought it up and Len said, nah, I'm not interested. Remember that, Natalie?
No. Not getting involved.
Never happened.
Bernie is a great guy, and Bernie, you're welcome on. Well, actually, Yom Kippur's tomorrow, so let's have Bernie on tomorrow when Len isn't here. Scores
great
some points,
idea.
And Len won't.
Great idea. Great idea. Okay.
Also, coming on Mark's show is a radio talk show host, John Ziegler. So that's all coming up after the news at 10 o'clock. All right, so tell me about this Disney brainwashing thing, Len.
No, it makes a lot of sense. You ever walk past an ice cream store or a candy shop and the smell is just great?
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently, this guy is charging, and that's not just the normal smell. They actually have a little machine they call a smellitizer that, you know, all the smells come flying out of this little machine to make it really seem like the food is just so delicious. And they have this all over Disney, according to this guy on TikTok, who's had like millions of views. And they're claiming that Disney brainwashes guests into buying food at their theme parks because it smells so good. The odor is coming out of these smellitizers. You know what? The guy's probably right.
Totally. Actually, I have a friend who owns a fudge shop down in Sarasota. And, you know, you walk by it, you smell the fudge. It's all just this fake smell that he pumps out there. It's not really the fudge because the fudge is being made in the back. But they have this little
smellitizers. There's the word of the day.
Yeah, there you go. Smellitizers. All right, we do a little recap for you at the end of the show because we know you can't be with us for the full 4 hours. But you can check out our podcast on 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Now, we had our buddy Dr. Gregory Poland of the Mayo Clinic. He was on. And I'm asking a question I think everyone's asking at this point.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble with my little machine here, so
Len's
I can't get the question.
Fired.
Natalie, maybe can Luke play that Dr. Poland thing?
Len's gone.
Uh-oh, that's bad.
I know. They turned off his computer. Okay.
Yeah.
Shall I
can
move on now?
Can we get rid of this COVID thing so we can move on? I mean, this thing has been hanging around our necks for a year and a half.
We're not going to get rid of it. We gave up that ability by making really poor decisions about masking and whether to get vaccines. And just a reminder that we'll be starting flu vaccine programs this month. We are still immunizing against aspects of the 1918 flu.
Oh, God, that's depressing. Senator Jessica Ramos, we really like her. She's the New York State Senator, and she explains about her trip to Rikers Island. She went there this week, and it was pretty harrowing, her visit.
The men there are so fed up with the lack of treatment. There's a very serious staff shortage. And then the unimaginable happened. Someone tried to take their life in front of me, and I haven't been able to get the smell out of my nose, and I haven't been able to get the image of that man from my mind. It's been really tough.
That was a pretty great interview we've had with Jessica Ramos, so check it out on our podcast, our website, 710WR.com/Lenna Michael. Now, I had a thought that I think the media really wants Kamala Harris to become our next president. Here's the thing about the media. The media really loves Kamala Harris. They want her to be president.
Really?
So they're just sitting there knowing that Biden is going to expire at any moment now. I mean, he's long past his sell-by date. And then when he goes, the media is going to rally behind Kamala Harris in a way you have never seen before. They want her to be the first black woman president. That's what the media wants. That's what the goal is. Got it? Yep. I'm right, Joe. I'm right. 100% right about that. You know I am. Now, Len thought I was losing it today. Larry Elder. I thought he was a pretty strong candidate. If you listen to his speeches, he was very good. I mean, Newsom is just a total lightweight. But I'm sure surviving this recall, Newsom now, like they all do, thinks, I can run for president. I could be what Beto O'Rourke tried to be. I could be the next RFK. Blah. Ridiculous.
Are you okay, Michael? Oh, you're all over the lot today.
Do you like
Gavin? I was Broadway last night.
It's a minor story. Come on. Got to move along. Are we doing vaccine mandates when we get back?
Let's see.
Oops. Well, there we go. So stick around for Mark Simone. He's coming up next. Now, Bernie Weiss is a brilliant guy. He is a brilliant writer. His new book, Ace It, is absolutely sensational. And he is Mark Simone's guest coming up. You do not want to miss Bernie Weiss. I cannot speak highly enough about Bernie Weiss. He's the president of iHeart New York Media here. Happens to be my boss. Great guy. Stick around for Bernie Weiss, Mark Simone. Now the news, 10 o'clock.